Welcome everyone joining us here on the Kings County Radio Club Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Jason, WF2N, will be your co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. Now, the purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its website. Also, we offer original articles and technical nets. We also offer technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website and can be found on the front page of our website in orange-colored type link will. But if you would like a simple URL to find that page, you can just type in on your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, for a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal, just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. All of this information can be found on our club website, www.kc2rc.com. Members, as well as non-members, are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is always available on our club website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only. If they have a question or a comment for this net, please give us your name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try my best to provide an answer, and Jason, WF2N, will join in. If any of their listeners further affect their opinions, they are free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experience. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know here or use our email address, which is tech@kc2rc.com. Now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net tonight, Jason, WF2N. Good evening, Jason.
Hello, Roy. Good evening.
I hope my signal is better than last time.
Yes, Roy, I'm hearing you loud and clear this evening.
Very good indeed. Anyway, this is the technical net, so we're here twice a month, and we're here to take questions or topics or comments and what have you. So please, if you've joined us tonight, have a seat in front of your transceiver and hit that little push-to-talk button. Give us your first name and your call sign. One more time, guys, if you're out there and you got any questions, feel free. This is the time and this is the place. So if you do have that, then please hit the button and do your thing. Otherwise, I'll just ramble semi-incoherently. The Yom Kippur has just ended, and I just finished a nice little 25-hour fast, so I'm in perfect shape for technical discussions. Okay, very good. Well, maybe we'll try with a warm-up discussion. I thought I might ramble semi-incoherently about magnetic loops for a little while. Everyone kind of talks about magnetic loops. They're not probably the first antenna that most amateur radio operators read about. That tends to be something along the ways of a simple wire antenna, either a center-fed half-dipole or a non-resonant center-fed a center window. Or the area of open environment think that a magnetic loop is a sort of magical thing. They think that they're some way electronically shielded and private, only receive the magnetic portion of the electromagnetic waves of radio frequency. I think it's like the two sides of the exact coin. You can't have heads without a tail at the other side of the coin. So I'm not a big believer in the fact that it shields against electrical noise and lets less noisy magnetic field barriers. But that's a you'll hear on the EF band very often. Let me drop for a sec. That was a curious response. Something went digital with something. I don't know. Anyway, the concept underlying a magnetic loop is a very, very shortened dipole, basically. It's a really, ultimately, a center-fed dipole, which is short and folded up on itself in a loop configuration, usually somewhere around a tenth of a wavelength. Sometimes it could be even 1/15th of a wavelength. You don't really make it to much larger than a tenth of a wavelength because the mode of it receiving and transmitting changes, and also it becomes to be too much of a mechanical hassle of how to maintain that type of weight of wire in whatever shape you care to keep it. So it's about a 1/10 to 1/15th of a wavelength in circumference. Usually it is the ends that get very close to each other with a variable capacitor as the resonating tuning circuit. These have to be of high quality as far as voltage breakdown. As we mentioned a long time ago about how half-wave dipoles work, their maximum voltage is at their end. And the Q factor of an antenna is the multiple of the voltage and current at those ends. So if you have a antenna that has a Q of 2, it's not that dangerous. If you have a very high Q shortened antenna, the voltage potential at the edge are 10 to 15 times the voltage that you feed into the antenna system. With those types of voltages, it's not that difficult to walk across the gap and burn out a lot of your electronics and the smoke out, as the saying goes. So that's why people need either high-quality air-gap variable capacitors, or if you really want to drive it with a lot of power, you need something along the lines of what's called a vacuum variable capacitor. These capacitors are placed in a jar, and the air is pumped out of it, so the voltage in a vacuum is than in air. It's ionized, vacuum really can't. So that's the reason for the more expensive vacuum variable capacitor. Then you need to somehow feed this lovely little capacitor that you have. You can't directly just tap into it. So there are different ways of producing matches. The most common method, as I'm sure most people have seen, is something called inductive coupling, which is simply to build a smaller loop and feed a transmitter through the smaller loop and put it close enough to the large loop that inductively it couples, and then your bigger loop acts as the antenna radiator and receiver. But that's not the only method. There are other methods as well. We talked about in the past gamma matches, delta matches. Any impedance matching design can suffice. It's just that historically it's been a lot easier to simply whip up a smaller loop and do the inductive coupling. As I mentioned before, these antennas have good things and bad things. Let me drop for a second and I'll get into a few of them. Okay, the good thing is that the shrunken half dipole, they don't take up they're sent into a loop, and so they're relatively easy to manage. You can run out with them and do your radio stuff or take it to the park, and then you can disassemble it a bit and put it into a little bit. Another benefit is that it's not height dependent as many dipoles are. A standard dipole needs to be at least one half of a wavelength above the ground, otherwise it ends up being what's called a vertical inside wave, which is a way of saying all the stuff goes straight up and then straight back down again. And you don't really talk to anyone more than about 15, 20 miles away from you. Magnetic loops are much more forgiving. We'll say this spot is 2 feet above. above ground, so they say it doesn't matter at all. That's a benefit. The problem with magnetic loops, there's two big ones. The really big one is, as I mentioned before, it has what's called a very high Q, which means that it has a very narrow. If you change frequency, you have to traipse out there wherever your magnetic loop might be, unless it's on remote control, and it's just that very capacitor refill the at that new slightly different frequency. Also, because it requires comment away.
So I know a ham who is actually featured in QST, K1FM. He has a nice write-up. I believe it was May or June issue of QST, where he has a nice instructions on building a magnetic loop. And I believe it was featured last year on the cover. I think to build, bring it anywhere. You keep it in a backpack and you can put it out, which is T-817 and operation.
That's Alan at 1FM. He was a member of the club, but unfortunately, I believe he lives in Queens, and it's a little bit more difficult for him to reach the meetings in Brooklyn and such, so he decided to kind of leave the club, unfortunately, but he was a big fan. He is a big fan of magnetic loops. He was covered on QST, I think, for the fact that it was Xenia / Dayton, the ham fest, and the photographer took a snapshot of him, and he ended up on the cover, and I think he ended up on the calendar for 2019. So he made it big, and there was some write-up about his magnetic as well. So yeah, he's a big fan of them. It's not unusual. Again, it's kind of one of the first go-to urban antennas that a lot of people tinker with. HF antenna was transmit, had a series of running capacitors, it had noise, preamp circuit, so it was a rather decent receiving antenna before I was able to mount a sizable transmitting antenna. Alan is a big knows a lot about him. The Ham Radio University that's going to be held towards the end of this January. There's a guy who always gives at least one, sometimes two, underlying theory. Very, very strange theory about magnetic loops that I mentioned. Literally, it will tell you that magnetic loops have a constant a current running through them and a constant voltage running through them. And yet, I could show you YouTubes where people actually take their magnetic loops and they actually test and they find voltage peaks at the edge with a design. As far as I've been able to figure out, when people talk about this constant current and constant voltage, a theoretical point when the circumference of your approaches, which I don't think is very interesting theoretically, but I don't think it's really practical to try and transmit on a non-existent micromagnetic loop. At those points, the current and voltages distribution across the loop approach identical values. So on a theoretical basis, they're sort of right, but in a practical basis, as I mentioned before, that's my little extra bit on magnetic loops and about Alan. I hope he's doing well. I would love it if he would kind of rejoin the club or just kind of come by and chat on the TechNet and such. With any comments or questions for the technical net tonight. Come on, all guys. Maybe we'll move on to the puzzle, assuming that there's anyone else out there who is reading the puzzle. The puzzle is sort of an interesting thing. Unfortunately, not terribly verbal. You sort of have to actually look at the diagram. There's four different, very simple schematics of impedance matching circuits. And the basic question is whether or not you could see which one is which and be able to point out the T-type impedance matching circuit from the other three. So I'll just open it again. If anyone has any questions or comments for the technical net tonight, please feel free. Hit that push to talk button and say your piece. Okay, not much action going. So let me just pose a question to the theoretical audience out there. I guess I'll leave the TechNet puzzle for the next time. So if there's anyone out there who wants to play along with the TechNet puzzle for tonight, please hit the push to talk button below. Okay, I guess we'll skip the TechNet puzzle for tonight. I just don't want to, I don't want to kind of use it up and no one out there is listening. So, one more time, if anyone has any questions or statements or comments or any interest in playing around with the TechNet puzzle tonight, please hit the push to talk button and say hello. Otherwise, we'll close this place down early tonight, I guess. Of noise at the tail of my transmission. So maybe someone's trying to get through. If you could try again, if you could whistle in a slightly different direction or turn the power up a little, maybe. That has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next club meeting will be November 6th. We offer a pre-meeting technical question and answer session, much like this set, only more active, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. as time allows. Our regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until after 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly two-meter club net on every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on this repeater, as well as a two-meter net every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 28.380 upper sideband. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We have a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday at 9 p.m. on our club repeater, KC2RC. If you can communicate using Fusion Technology, join in. We offer an audio stream of the Fusion Net on the internet, as well as on all audio transmissions on our club repeater at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, information is available on our website. If you would like to contact the host of the show, please address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which also archives of this technical article, technical forum. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generous Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Free Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll try and be back to do this all over again October 23rd, and I hope some more people show up next time. Thanks to my co-host Jason, WF2N, to be here with me, and as I try to impress upon all you guys out there, without you participating, I would just be talking to myself, which is kind of what I was doing a lot of the time. This TechNet, but nevertheless, this is Alpha Charlie 2, Gulf Sierra going clear, and getting the heck out of here. So until next time, have a good night.